Welcome to week 13 of the Snap UK. We are barreling towards the end of the season now, almost. But still lots to be decided. And we have now no undefeated teams. Thanks to, of course, as everyone was suspected, the Washington football team, who finally beat the Steelers. So, well, let's head straight into there, because I think the news we can go into per game. So, yeah, let's start with the Steelers, because although you know, probably not the biggest news of the week, it is their first loss. No one can go 16-0 this season, and the Alex Smith story just becomes ever greater. Who wants to take us? Who wants to start us on this one? Because I'm not gonna lie, I haven't seen much. I've only seen highlights of this game because at 14-0, I went to bed.
14-0 is where I tuned in, because I should have stuck to my conviction the other day when I was saying to yourself and Paul that I really felt this was the game the Steelers were going to lose. And I didn't stick to my conviction and I didn't pick the Steelers because I allowed myself to be talked out of it. But I was fairly confident that the Steelers could be upset in this game. And I think it's down to a fantastic defence coached by a great defensive coach and a quarterback who is playing mistake-free football, which is what half the teams in the league need. How good do you think the Bears would be with Alex Smith? I'm just throwing it out. Because that defence is probably as good, and they've got more offensive weapons if used properly. He did a brilliant job yesterday when you think that Antonio Gibson only had two carries and then was taken out of the game. He got Peyton Barber and J.D. McKissick both involved. McKissick had 70 yards receiving. And who's ever heard of Cam Sims? Like, Cam Sims was a world beater yesterday. 5 receptions, 92 yards.
Yeah.
Against this Steelers defense. I think catching the Steelers in the middle of this run was a good time. They're going to be playing 3 games in 12 days, aren't they? So,
yep.
I think preparation time is probably minimal. And if you were looking at those 3 games, this is the one you would probably prepare for the least, because it should be the easiest game in the stretch. However, they look shaky. All teams that go 16-0 or close to it have a shaky period, and you want to get it out of the way before the playoffs. So I don't think it's a bad loss for the Steelers. And I think that were Washington playing like this from the start of the season, they wouldn't be 5-7. They'd be easily in control of the NFC East. I just think they're a sneaky good team that, if they were to make the playoffs by winning that division, I don't think you'd want to play this defence.
No.
I want to raise something. I don't want to in any way take away from what the football team are doing. There's a lot of very good players there. And I think that's the kind of the thing where I'd expect more from them. All right, he's got a gimpy leg, but he was a first overall pick, and he's gimpy is probably the wrong
he's
word.
He's got a gimpy leg. Wow.
Yeah, Alex with a gimpy leg at quarterback.
No, I mean, I can't even think of a polite way of comparing that to anything else, but that is sort of the extreme minimum that you can call that, a gimpy leg. It's not...
He had a bit of a boo-boo.
Yeah.
I was watching Home Alone 2, and one of the characters that he's been smooching is Mo with a gimpy leg. And all I can think of is Alex Smith with a gimpy leg.
Wow.
Alex Smith with a gimpy leg, who's the first overall pick, has got teams into the playoffs repeatedly. Got this Washington team close to the playoffs before he got his leg destroyed.
Before he went gimpy, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, before he got all gimpy. You've got a defense full of first round picks with probably, you know, let's be fair, he was the player that I thought any team would take first overall in this draft. He was the clearly the most NFL-ready talent in the draft. So,
but this is back to your point of teams that pick high up in the draft should be good because they've got good players on the roster now. But they weren't good because they were playing the wrong quarterback.
In retrospect, thinking about it, the Steelers playing on the Wednesday before, they should have beaten. This shouldn't be a surprise.
You know, it should be. It should still be a surprise. But, you know, you look at... If you go back to, you know, well, you know, they were a bad team who got Chase Young in. But it's not just... They got Rivera in. That's the difference, isn't it?
They are
now a well-coached team. Whereas you look at someone, you add Burrow into the Bengals, they're still coached by Zach Taylor, who's a dumpster fire. So, and deserve a
Paul,
job.
Also, to your point, you know...
I'm not letting Zach Taylor get away. Zach Taylor's job was pretty much, here's the barn, the horse is bolted. Off you go, mate.
Paul. The Steelers, since drafting Ben Roethlisberger, have led by 14 points that many times that the statistic comes out thus. They have won 129 games when leading by 14 points. They have lost twice and tied one game.
And so how many of those games did they play 4 days later against a team who'd had more rest?
You can only play what's in front of you. I think you've got to give all credit to the football team. And just like I said, it's not a bad loss for the Steelers. They need to regroup and use this as the build for being better in the playoffs. I think it's fine. I always looked forward when New England were good to losing that one or two games. So you got it out of the way and you knew that that wasn't coming. And it's a bit like the Giants. It's the other way around. It's like you look forward to winning one or two games, don't you? To just get it out of the way and then you can get back to being crap.
I'm
always
worried that our heads are getting too big, you know.
Massively is. I think that there's two key things that stick out for me in this game. One is, and you touched on it, where Ron Rivera's come in there. He's put together a culture where you can see how hard they're playing for the team. Now, to your point, Paul, you compare that Washington team against what's in Dallas at the moment. Talent for talent. There's absolutely no contest as to what team you take. But you can see the way Dallas are playing. They're not playing as a team. Like, Zeke isn't working his ass off. Everyone on that Washington team are working their ass off at the moment.
The Dallas team currently is injured to death.
Yeah, but come on. They're what? They're three and eight. And realistically, they should be 1-10.
Yeah.
But they're missing their main linebacker.
Yeah.
Their quarterback, their left guard.
But not the whole season, though. Like, Dak was around for, you know, a good portion of the season. They were still losing games. And let's remember, you know, the football team have lost a couple of quarterbacks now, and they've got other injuries as well. And yeah, it ends up that Alex Smith is the best quarterback on the roster, but he was certainly not the first quarterback on the roster to come and start that season. This team's just playing their heart out for Ron Rivera, and it's working. Now, on the flip side, the Steelers, I think this kind of touches on your point, Griff, they couldn't run the ball at all. Like, Anthony McFarlane, 4 carries for 15 yards. Benny Snell, 8 carries for 5 yards. Like, you can't... It's hard...
Don could have done that.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw that stat line.
An average of 0.6 yards per carry. That's literally falling over with the ball in front of you.
I saw that stat line. It might be a couple of years ago when Paul would compare people who had less than a yard of carry to his dick.
Yeah.
And...
I remember
my penis is longer than Benny Snell's running distance.
Yeah. Almost. But the point is, it's harder to control the game when you haven't got a running game. You can't churn the clock. And that worked out for the football team in the long run. You're asking Ben has to throw 53 times. Right? And okay, Alex Smith has to throw 46 times, but the stats are comparable in terms of, like, you know, Ben had 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Alex Smith had 1 touchdown. But you can't. You can't control the game if you can't run the ball. Like, there are very few teams out there that win who can't run the ball. That's why teams like the Browns and the Titans and even the Seahawks on their day, not this week, are so good at winning games, because they control the clock and they control the game. And that's how they win. You know, they need to get James Conner back. Otherwise, this could be a horrible end to the season. I do agree, though. I think it's good that they've lost, because that takes that monkey off that back for Mike Tomlin. He doesn't have to worry about that. Carry on. They're going to go to the playoffs. they're in a straight fight now with the Chiefs to get that first round bye, though. And I think the Steelers need it for what's happened previously in the season in terms of byes being taken away because of games moved around because of COVID. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, they're going to the playoffs. I don't think anyone would want to play the Steelers, really. But equally, I don't think anyone's going to want to play Washington.
Who's the number one wide receiver on the Steelers team?
I don't think there is one. I think they've got four.
Deontay Johnson leads the leagues in drops now with 9.
But they play wide out by committee.
Yeah.
They do. Yeah. Johnson, Washington, Claypool, Smith-Schuster, and then Ebron as well is having a good receiving. Yeah. Every week it's different. I think Deontay Johnson is easily the most talented of the group. I really do, but he's dropping the ball far too much. Smith-Schuster has not. He's turned into a bit of a Beckham character, if you like. Like, the talent is there, but he only shows up once every 3 games.
I don't think he's a Beckham character, because I think he's not got a Beckham's ego.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
But as well, you know, I think he is their number one, but, you know, they have such a varied, like...
It's not clear
Beckham
cut,
like number two.
Yeah, it's not clear cut. If I said to you, who's the number one receiver on the Falcons?
Yeah, it's right, Julio.
You can name, or who's the number one receiver on the Cardinals. There clearly is one on these on most teams, and there isn't one on this team. It's one of 4, if you like. So, just wondered.
I don't think it's a bad thing, though. But again,
generally speaking, they've been brilliant.
No, well...
2 games in a row where they struggled, but they need to get it out of the way.
They do, and hopefully, you know, they've got another tough game coming up, and then it's pretty easy sailing into the playoffs, because they've got the Bills next week. Yeah. But so from the sublime Washington to the ridiculous New York Jets, where...
Just don't know where you start.
Can't even lose one.
You can't... Exactly. Yeah. I mean...
Defeat from the jaws of victory, the New York Jets.
I mean, a lot of us here play a lot of Madden. So, of course, it's last play of the game. They're about 40 yards from goal. You just press A. You ask Madden, what's he going to do? Man 3D.
Oh, that's 6. Yeah.
You know, prevent. You know, whatever it is. But no, Greg Williams rushed...
7, I think.
7
it
men?
Was.
8?
Yeah.
0 blitz.
I counted 7.
It 0
I
blitz.
It earlier today.
On the last 252.
Oh, I've got this stat in front of me as well.
Yeah. The last 252 attempts of such distance to win a game, nobody rushed more than 6 players. And it's all because Greg Williams wants to be able to say the Greg Williams defence won the game. And actually, the Greg Williams defence lost the game and lost Greg Williams his job, because the players criticised him on TV after the game. The coach couldn't back him on TV after the game. And Lamar Jackson was the cornerback, not the, you know, erstwhile.
Not the, yeah, but the undrafted cornerback.
Yeah, an undrafted cornerback who got cut and then brought back. Got isolated against one of the quickest rookies in the league. And the guy owned it and said, you know, that's on me. But it's not on him. It's not on him. That is, who plays that like that? Greg Williams is the answer. Greg Williams is outdated. He was, I believe he was the coordinator responsible for Bountygate.
Yep.
And yep. Greg Williams, a little bit like me, so I take flack because I'd rather see games where people get pummeled into the floor every week and you can't illegally hit anyone. Greg Williams is a dinosaur like me, and he no longer fits the mold that's required because he is not careful with his play calling. He's just, I want to win it like this. It doesn't work anymore.
It was ridiculous. And he was rightly fired because, to your point, anyone who's got any experience of playing Madden knows not to rush that many players on that situation. It's not brain science. It's really not. It's bloody simple. You line up 4 or 5 guys on the goal line. You make sure they don't score. That's all you have to do. You don't have to care about yardage. It's not an issue.
Yeah.
It's not rocket surgery either.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I ask a question? Because this might show my naivety in how these things work. But I'm going to ask a question. Why on earth, when the players went out there and lined up in formation, did Adam Gase not scream, "What are you doing?"
I also thought that.
Formation where you can't defend.
Apparently, the last thing he heard was Zero in his headset looked up and the play had snapped.
Because they had a timeout as well. Offensive genius, Adam Gase needs to sit there. Because Derek Carr came out and said, "Well, I read that.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it." And brilliant. Adam Gase is an offensive genius. He's coached for quarterbacks. He should know how to read a play. All he's got to do there is turn around and say, "Timeout, Greg, what the fuck are you doing?"
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
So Greg Williams is responsible, but Adam Gase ultimately drives
the buck stops.
Yeah. And I just don't see how you can sack one without the other.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
we all know
he's going at the end of the season. So it's just a case of waiting it out for the Jets, I'm afraid.
And we all know that Gase has naked pictures of Woody Johnson.
When you say it like that, it sounds like he's a porn star. If your name is Woody Johnson, that's right.
He's
up there
got
with
pictures
Napoleon
of Woody
Boga
Johnson.
But is that the case? Is the back office now? Because it's not back office is looking at the draft going, "Well, we want Lawrence," and I'm worried that if we bring someone else in, what if they get something out of these players? I'm just conspiracy theorying here.
Yeah, but I think that's why Gase is still in a job, but that's not going to keep him in a job past January.
Oh no.
What I'm saying is that the office don't want to risk getting that spark you get from a new coach.
Yeah,
but what's
the plan though? You could see with Cleveland when they went 0-16, they were crashing the ship purposely. There was a plan they were building. With Miami, they were crashing the ship, and you could see all these trades they were doing. You know, like that ridiculous, can't remember the name of the cornerback, the guy who played for nearly every team and was injured.
Tlaib.
Aqib Tlaib.
They traded for him knowing they weren't going to play him. So they could get the fourth round pick.
Yeah.
You could tell there was a plan.
Yeah.
What's the plan in the Jets back office apart from just sucking Holland?
Sucking Woody Johnson, is that what you're
saying?
Yeah.
I mean, the plan has always been we need to get Joe Namath back on the field. Beyond that, I don't think they have a plan. They are the new Browns in terms of who's the most poorly run organisation. It's the Jets now. Beyond the Browns, the Bengals are probably a fairly close run second in that contest. But, you know, the Jets have been bad for a number of years. They had the odd spark. You know, they had a good year under Fitzmagic, a couple of good years under Sanchez, but there's never any continuity because they cannot put a 10-year plan together. They cannot do it.
Jim, Griff, if I ask you this, like Snyder coming into Washington, they've been terrible since.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How long have the Jets had their Woody Johnson out?
I don't know how long Woody Johnson's been in charge there. Quite.
Well, he's not been there. Well, it's not actually Woody Johnson, is it? It's actually his brother who's running things at the moment. Woody Johnson's the current ambassador to the UK under the Trump administration. So, seeing as that's going to end soon, I expect good old Woody to hot-tail it back over the Atlantic and attempt to sort this out.
He's owned the Jets for 20 years.
Yeah. And they've had, what, two AFC Championship performances in that
AFC
time?
AFC Championship appearances, and I think four or maybe five winning seasons.
Yeah. I think... See, look, they brought in Joe Douglas as GM around about last year, before the last draft, let's say, before that whole draft process picked up. Adam Gase wasn't his choice, but equally, he didn't fire Adam Gase last year.
No.
So, there's a decision to be made there about whether they keep Joe Douglas on. I think they perhaps should and give him a chance to pick his own head coach, understanding that Adam Gase is terrible and wasn't his doing. Give him a chance to build the roster because there is some level of talent on the roster. It's not terrible. There is, you know, you look at the defense, they have been hit by a few kind of COVID related holdouts in terms of CJ Mosley. They have got some decent defenders on there. Maybe they shouldn't have got rid of Jamal Adams, but they have now got two first round picks. They're going to get the best quarterback coming out of the draft for, well, it's probably since Andrew Luck. they're probably going to get some trade value for Sam Darnold if they choose to move him onto a different team. So there's pieces to work with there at the Jets. It's not like it is at the Texans where you've got Deshaun Watson and aging J.J. Watt and pretty much nothing else. There is an element of talent there in terms of like the left tackle's good. Becton, he's had a good season. Sam Darnold isn't seeing as many ghosts this year, so maybe the offensive line has stepped up a bit. And the defense has potential, but it needs a reboot on the coaching side of things.
I'm just looking up the most memorable thing on that's happened for the Jets in the last 2 years. To me, is still that thing when
out
Donald
indefinitely.
Out indefinitely. Mononucleosis. When he was out with no, yeah. And they did a
glandular fever for our UK fans,
and they did a bloody thing for it. Thing is, like 2 years ago when they got in Gase, they did bring in like Lev Bell and Mosley, and you know they spent big.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's just.
But they didn't want Lev. Like to be fair to Gase, he didn't want Lev Bell. Like, and it wasn't under Joe Douglas. That was under the previous GM.
Yeah.
It was a complete, we're going to make a splash because we've got some cash to spend and we want to be a big New York team. So we're going to go out and sign the biggest player in free agency. No one wanted him. So yeah. What do you expect? I think, can we just mention something good on this game? Like Darren Waller had an absolute game.
What a player he is. Absolutely amazing. One of the other reasons why, apart from being crap, I lost that fantasy because he just demolished me with like 40 fantasy points or whatever it was. Yeah, it was incredible. And he is always one of the good tales when you hear about, you know, teams winning with players who've maybe not had the best run of luck in life. But also, one other thing to mention, the number of people who were criticising Gruden with 5 or 6 minutes to go in this game, I get it. The Raiders have not played brilliantly for a couple of weeks, but they're winning. They're winning games like this where in the past they'd have got steamrolled and we'd all have laughed at them. And they're going to go to the playoffs. They're going to be a playoff team. So then you're
looking
in
like that.
You know, Gruden, the 10-year contract, you can't say it's not coming to some sort of fruition. They're playing well. Derek Carr has been epic this season. I think he's turned the ball over 3 times all season. Like, I just think they're being underplayed because they maybe don't win in a pretty manner, but they win.
I think they properly struggled without Jacobs there this week. Like Devontae Booker had an all right game, but it was below average.
He's Devontae Booker.
Yeah, exactly. I think this team needs Josh Jacobs in the team. Like we said with the Steelers, they need to be able to control the ball.
Yeah.
And I think Derek Carr is playing, I'm not sure, epic season. I'd say above average. I'd take him at the 49ers in the current form, so I always think that's a good sign.
I think he could walk on to probably 24 or more teams in this league and improve them at the moment.
That's a big shout.
Yeah. I think he's playing really well. We should point out Adam Gase is done, but the next coaching appointment is crucial because if you waste a Sam Darnold and then waste a Trevor Lawrence, what does that say about your franchise? That is two franchise-changing quarterbacks that you would have wasted over the period of 4 or 5 years. Yeah. You are probably never getting those two to line up again. It's like the Packers going from Favre to Rodgers. It's just not likely.
Just in a really short time span.
Yes, of course.
And with no success.
I'd happily nail the colours to the mast and say wherever Darnold ended up next, he will end up with a winning record at the next franchise he's at. Because he actually played really well.
Yeah.
He threw 3 touchdowns. He hadn't thrown for more than 2 in a game all season.
Ran for one as well.
He only got 3 touchdowns coming into the game, hadn't he?
Yeah.
So, he's now 6 touchdowns to 8 or 9 interceptions on the season. But he's hopelessly underdeveloped, and another team, any other team, probably could do a better job.
Yeah, the good thing is he's still really young. Like he's what, 20, 22, 23? He's younger than Joe Burrow. So like he's got time to develop. And I think you're right. If he goes to a franchise where they actually develop it, if he goes to the Saints and plays and has Sean Payton as a coach, that's...
If I'm Bill Belichick, I'm giving up the Patriots first round pick and saying to the Jets, can we have Darnold, please?
Yeah. Because
Can you imagine what he would be able to do with Sam Darnold? You've played against him for three seasons. You've seen all the problems. Like, you know exactly what's wrong with the guy. You probably know how to fix it if you're that good.
Is he going to be as good as any of that? There's top talent in this draft, isn't there? A quarterback.
There's about five good quarterbacks probably going
the
first round.
Yeah, there are. But I still think that he's probably better than two or three of them. No doubt.
Mm.
Well, with the Steelers losing, Chiefs now back in the race for number one in the AFC, who beat the Broncos 22-16. Not really much to run through this game.
What are the Broncos going to do? Like, Elway is the problem. He cannot pick a quarterback. They're going to keep him because he's Elway, which means they're probably going to pick another bad quarterback. There's rumours about him going after Matt Stafford. Now, that's fine for 2 years, maybe. But beyond that...
He's only 32.
Stafford's not that old.
I understand. But what I'm saying is that's not the future of your... I love Matt Stafford. That's not the future of your franchise. It's like last year when he was like, oh, we've signed Joe Flacco. And you're like, no.
I think you could get 5 years out of Stafford.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll see. I'm saying right now it'd be the wrong move for Stafford because he should stick with the Lions team where he knows and he's the face of the franchise.
No, get out.
You look at all that talent on the Denver offense at the moment. If they had a better quarterback than Drew Lock, they'd be firing.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind, they're missing Cortland Sutton as well. But they found a receiver called Patrick. Who's
but it's a graveyard for quarterbacks since Manning.
Since Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Well, you know, someone's eventually got to take the bull by the horns there. And it's going to take
Elway out of the way, is what I'm saying.
But, yeah.
Well, that's just not going to happen.
For Stafford, how much would he kill to play for a team with a defence? No quarterback has played with such a poor defence, I think only Matt Ryan over in the last few years has come close.
A defence and a running game as well.
And that's it. And that's something I have to mention this week. Melvin Gordon was back.
Yeah.
Melvin Gordon had a game this week. Lots of yard, no touchdown, but got some yardage. And that's kind of what you want to see because he's been quiet for a few weeks now. But
Stafford will have his choice of places to go to. He'll have three or four. And whatever they are, the Broncos won't be the best one.
No, probably not. But I agree. I completely agree. I think Stafford will have I think the Lions will try and keep him. For sure, because I don't think the Lions are going to be that high enough to draft a quarterback who they can reliably expect to step into Stafford's shoes and carry on with that performance. But if he does leave Detroit, it'll go somewhere good.
The problem is coaching. Under Jim Schwartz, Stafford was playing really well and the team were really good. You get another decent coach in, you keep hold of Stafford, you're a contending team. You're not, you know, guaranteed playoff, but you're already prepared to contend. It's not like a complete rebuild.
No.
We've discussed more about the Lions than I ever wanted to. So,
and we're meant to be talking about the Broncos and Chiefs.
We're meant to be talking about the Chiefs and the Broncos, but yeah.
The Chiefs beat the Broncos and everybody expected them to. Should we go to the next game?
Let's go to the next game. Chargers 0, Patriots 45. We've discussed
bad should we go to the next already. Game?
Yeah, I mean, so Anthony Lynn just got himself fired.
He just did that a couple of weeks back.
I mean, their special teams player has been amongst the worst all season. I said to John, name the player with the least deserved nickname in the league right now.
I don't think I could say I'll
tell you who it is. It's the Money Badger. Mike Badgley, who has missed 9 kicks and had 1 blocked as well. No, you're not the Money Badger, are you? You're just an average kicker who occasionally goes on a hot streak. That their whole special teams unit is terrible and gets worse under Anthony Lynn.
And was probably playing against the best special teams unit in the league at the moment, I'd say.
Yeah, so that was the Patriots' first punt return touchdown since 2014. They nearly had a second one as well. And then they blocked the kick at halftime to score from that. It was the perfect game for the Patriots. All they can do is run the ball. How many passing yards did Cam Newton have?
69.
Yeah, 69, and we had 45 points.
Nice.
Insane.
Cam Newton had 69 yards off 12 completions Jarrett Stidham had 61 yards off two completions.
Yeah, he did. And that's the thing. It's an odd way to win in the modern NFL, but teams are struggling against it because it's so odd and the running game is so strong. Yeah. But
I'm up for quarterback by committee.
He's, you know, Cam Newton's also the first quarterback ever to have two or more rushing touchdown games in a season.
Doesn't surprise me.
That's more than Lamar.
But you touched on it earlier. This comes down to coaching. The Patriots are the best coached and best prepared team going into every game, and the Chargers aren't.
They're right at the bottom of that list. It's not good with that talent that's on that roster.
Yeah,
you're losing this game, especially not in a blowout. There's no excuse. It's embarrassing, but obviously I was delighted. I did say to John though, the Patriots are doing exactly what I said they would do. They are clinging on to that playoff hope. And then we're just going to lose to the Jets in the last week, and it's going to be just the worst. It'll just be mind-numbingly upsetting. But it's just the way it is. So, you know.
Wouldn't it be like a really Jets thing, though, to kind of win that last game and then give up the number one pick?
Totally.
It would be amazing. Wouldn't that just be the best thing you'd ever seen if that happened? Fair play, though, to Cam. He knows he's not playing that well, but as long as they're winning, it doesn't matter. I think it takes some balls to have swag like he does when you're playing the way he does.
To be fair, it was last week. You saw at the end of the game, he visibly wasn't happy with his game. And they'd won the game. And we looked at the box score last week and said, I don't understand how this happened.
No.
And you can do the same this week. There's a few Damian Harris is probably the only standout performer in terms of stats on the offense side of the ball. But, you know, there's three parts of the game. And the Patriots dominated special teams.
Having watched a lot of it now, the difference in Cam is, he is absolutely putting his body on the line.
Yeah.
One of those rushing touchdowns, he had five players hanging off him, and he just was getting in that end zone. And you can't discount that. It's ridiculous that he has, you know, nearly three times as many rushing touchdowns as he has passing touchdowns this season. Because he's just a running back playing at the quarterback spot. But for this season, and probably only this season, it is working to a degree.
Yeah.
It's fine this season because he's got nobody to fucking throw to, you know. If you had Brady this year, you'd just be getting no touchdowns anyway because he can't do the running.
So imagine how bad this team would be with Brady.
Oh, you'd be awful. Let's move on to the leaders of the AFC East who beat the 49ers 34-24. Be pretty quick here because, you know, we did the Bills are good, the 49ers are pretty average.
I thought Nick Mullin played okay, actually. I didn't think he was the reason. It's just the fact that Josh Allen had one of those games where he catches fire and they couldn't stop him.
Yeah,
he was
they couldn't get close to him. Like, they had one sack on the night, but even if you just watch the highlights, every play, like 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds in the pocket, then he'd escape, have another 2 seconds. And if you're not getting close to the quarterback, your cornerbacks don't stand a chance for keeping players like Stephon Diggs or Cole Beasley under control. Like, they're going to be open. You can't stick with them for that long. So, yeah, Josh Allen had a great game. The defense didn't. It showed. I thought we did quite well to get 24 points. Quite impressed.
Shanahan's doing a good job to coach up such a damaged team. But it's the same as it has been for many of the seasons that he's been there. You cannot just win every week with the players falling to the wayside. So he might be one of the best, but also one of the most unlucky coaches
that
he has. Yeah, for the 49ers, I think this season just has to finish, doesn't it? Just need to get back and
get healthy. If we win our next four games, we could be in the shout of the playoffs. We're not gonna. So let's just there's been talk about getting Kittle back. I'm like, well, why? Like, we're not in 2 games' time. We're not going to be fighting for a playoff position. Let him rest. Let him recover. Bring him back fresh next week. Next year. Next week. I wish.
Bring back fresh next.
No, I totally agree. This team needs to just get to January. First half of the week goes to the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Second half of the week goes to the Tennessee Titans, who brought it back.
What a game, though. Can we, for the first time certainly the first time from me, can we really give the Browns some credit? Because I did not think Kevin Stefanski would out-coach Mike Vrabel and the Titans, and he absolutely did.
You pissed off Jim, though.
Yep, Jim's decided he's had enough. I'm going to say the dog needs to go out, or the cat needs to go out. What happened there, Jim?
It was the dog.
It was the dog. I thought it was going to be one of the... It was either that or the wife needs to go out, and she was really whining. I couldn't tell. Yeah, I mean, obviously, the Cleveland defense, well, in both teams' instances, the defense is a concern. The back end for Cleveland, no Denzel Ward, etc. And for Tennessee, zero pass rush. Baker Mayfield will always be an accurate quarterback if he's not under pressure. It's when you pressure him that there's a problem. And this was probably Baker's best half of football that we've seen.
I was going to say, it's still his best game of football, to be fair. He didn't give the ball away. 25 completions of 33, 334 yards and 4 touchdowns. Okay, with the context of the game and knowing the first half versus the second half, you're right. But if you put that across the whole game, you're like, that's a solid, solid performance. I thought he did. He looked like the Baker Mayfield that was at Oklahoma. Oh, I struggle to say that. It's been a long day, man.
I thought the things about the Browns that we don't see very often. When was the last time the Browns scored on each of their first 6 offensive plays in a game?
2000.
Never.
They have never done it since returning in 1999. Absolutely. Now, that's fairly astounding. But Myles Garrett has 10 or more sacks in 3 consecutive seasons. The only Cleveland player to do so since sacks became an official statistic in 1982. Yeah. That is before most of us were born. Right, Jim?
Watch it. The one thing with Garrett, he looked absolutely gassed in the fourth quarter. And he's coming back from COVID, so that's to be expected in a sense. They need him back, though. They've got to keep playing him because, you know, he's been an absolute monster this year.
He's been quite vocal about it. It has quite affected him quite hard. And I guess, with Newton's the same, these guys, I guess their bodies run on the red line. It's going to affect them. He's been quite vocal about it.
It's very much the same for me.
There's nothing to say to that.
No, you can't help but be impressed with the Browns. But the Titans have got so many good pieces. They just have to sort out the pass rush. Yeah. I still really believe in what the Titans can be. And I really think Mike Vrabel is a great coach. But there is definitely a downturn in form for the Titans at the moment. And they need to they have to turn it around fairly quickly because their division is not an easy one. Texans have been improving. The Colts are good. Like, it's not something that you want to get mired in when you should be walking into the playoffs with this much talent.
I don't know. They're up against the Colts. I mean, last week they beat the Colts. They are, but it's Tennessee. They are quite streaky. They'll, inconsistent.
I'd say, the next 4 games, Jaguars, Lions, and then at the Packers, and then at the Texans. So they'll 3 out of 4 of those, they'll win. One of them, let's not rule out that they could beat the Packers. So you'd say, I think they're comfortably into the playoffs.
They'll be 10-6, I would think. And that should be enough. It'll just depend against what happens with the Colts, I think, as to who finishes top. I think the Titans are still top, aren't they? Because they're
beating. Yeah, that's right.
But
they're a better team than the Colts.
Yeah, they are a better team, but I think the Colts have better players.
I'll take the Colts' defense over the Titans' defense.
Yeah, I agree.
Packers do suck against the run, though, and that's pretty much what Titans have.
Yeah, but only 60 yards for Derrick Henry this week.
Yeah. Should move on to the Colts, who beat the Texans 26-20. And we'll take a break after that. But, it was... Do you see Deshaun Watson at the end of the game? He looked absolutely gutted.
Rightly so.
And rightly so, because this is a game that Texans should have won. It was a botched snap. And the key thing for the Texans is you've lost Will Fuller for the entirety of his career at the Texans now, because He won't be most likely there next season. He's suspended for the remainder of this season. He's let Deshaun Watson down with that because he had been a viable number one receiver replacing the best number one receiver that the Texans have ever had. And, or maybe the best number one receiver we've seen in probably five of the last 6 years or something. However you want to quantify it, he's been amazing. And Will Fuller, you know, the drop-off is there, but it hadn't
got the
been
job
as
done.
Discernible as most people thought. And John made a good point. It came up on the screen at the weekend, and I didn't know this either. When did they release Kenny Stills?
End of November.
It was just before
Will Fuller got
Will
suspended.
Fuller got suspended.
What were you doing?
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
I really feel that a bit like, well, a bit like many teams do, the Texans are wasting the best years of having a young quarterback. And it feels like you've got to get it right now. Like, I know that's why they've got Bill O'Brien. I don't know whether Romeo Crennel is the answer. I think the team have played hard for him, but whether he's tactically the right person, I doubt.
I don't think he is. I think out of all the GM and head coach jobs that there are currently and there will be come the beginning of January, I think this one's the worst. And I say that with a heavy heart because I love Deshaun Watson. I think he's an awesome quarterback. He's almost like he's wide receiver proof, the opposite of what DeAndre Hopkins was. Got 141 yards out of Kiki Kuti and 101 yards out of Chad Hansen.
Was he the drummer?
Kiki Kuti's a fantastic receiver.
I mean, Kiki Kuti's obviously a fantastic receiver. I completely agree, Paul.
And Chad Hansen.
Chad Hansen.
That's the Madden name generator in action.
Yeah. So, Deshaun Watson is literally the only reason anyone would probably want to watch the Houston Texans play at the moment. And they've got very little draft capital. They've got very little salary cap. It's going to have to be a complete overhaul of this team to achieve anything.
Just see what they could get for Watson. Just burn.
Yeah, almost. That's almost the route you have to take, unless you're because they've got to be willing to give a GM and a head coach one of these big 6 year contracts, because this isn't going to be fixed in year one. Probably not going to be fixed in year two, because year two will be the first time they have a first round pick. So.
I was going to say to you, have they got to commit to like a Gruden-style contract to lure somebody good in?
Yeah, there's that much lack of talent on this roster that they have to, any GM has to ask for a really long-term contract.
This is a project, isn't it? Rather than, Shanahan and Lynch had the same thing at San Francisco. It can be turned around. But
yeah, absolutely.
The 49ers had draft capital. The Texans.
I mean, you have the corner piece in Deshaun Watson. So, I think he has to be a big part of the hiring team as well. Like, you have to absolutely make sure.
But you just said you're getting.
Well, I said you've got to look at it if you're the GM. But if you're committed to keeping him, then you've got to absolutely make sure that the head coach you bring in is someone that Deshaun Watson wants to work with, because that's the only piece on this team that you're probably keeping for the next 10 years or next 5 years, really, because JJ Watt's going to retire. He's not going to be around for probably 5 years. And then everyone else is just pretty average.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll go for a break and we'll come back with the rest of the weekend's action and our power rankings. Welcome back to part two of the Snap UK. So let's go straight into a good game for me and Paul. Seahawks 12, Giants 17.
That's a good game for the 49ers fans as well.
It's a good game for everyone. No one likes the Seahawks anyway.
The winner was football itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But, Giants on a winning streak, which is rare to say, four in a row, isn't it? We've won,
You were 0-5 to start the season, and now you're 5-2 in the last seven games. So that's
Super Bowl,
right up there.
Super Bowl form, that is,
it is. Yeah,
I'm not having this.
Nah,
When I saw we had five, I nearly got a nosebleed.
I've been very impressed. I've been very impressed with Wayne Gorman. I think
he's
getting better every week. I've been extremely impressed with the Giants' defense all season. I actually think they're very underrated and are stepping up. And I was delighted for Colt McCoy winning his first game since 2014. Now, let's not forget, Colt McCoy also suffered a horrific leg injury about the same time as Alex Smith did. I know it didn't receive anywhere near the attention because it wasn't anywhere near as bad. But for a man
also, it's Colt McCoy.
Yes. But for a man who's been a career backup, that could have also been a career-ending injury because those jobs don't just come round. And you know, he's landed on his foot and slightly less gimpy leg. And, you know, like I said to John and Paul the other day, the drop-off isn't massive. They are different players. Colt McCoy isn't looking to run as much as Daniel Jones, but the offense actually functioned just about the best it has done all season with him there because... at least he's a competent leader, if nothing else. He hasn't an arm talent, but he's a competent leader. And, you know, this team and the Washington team are going to battle this out for who's going into the playoffs. Yes, they're probably going to be a losing record going in, but I don't think you'd want to play either of these defences. It's a banana skin game, whoever plays this.
Yeah. Yeah, I did, you know, I said it a few weeks ago when we got quite close to beating Tampa. I think that was our last loss. And they, the defense, when it functions well, is very good. And this is the, you know, I'd love to see them with a standout wide receiver and Saquon, but that ain't gonna happen. not gonna happen this year anyway. But it's seeds for the future, isn't it? That's all it is for New York. You know, even if we get to the playoffs, we ain't going past the first game. But you know, I'm impressed with the Joe Judge project so far.
Are you happy to see another couple of years of Daniel Jones now? Because you were quite against the fact that he might be the future.
I'm willing to roll with him because, as well, I don't think we're, you know, you suddenly you end up chasing a playoff game. It means you're picking in the second half of the draft, which means you ain't going to get a Fields or whatever. So yeah, I'm getting happier with Jones. I think they know his weaknesses, and we're getting around it by. You know,
that is the oddest way of saying I have confidence in Daniel Jones I have ever heard. So you don't have any confidence.
I don't think he does.
But it's like, Bortles.
Yeah, yeah.
Bortles got to a championship game. He's not a good quarterback. He's an awful quarterback.
Like Garoppolo.
But the team played to his strengths, which was ignore him.
well, that's true. The two key things.
And things Jones is good with Sterling. If we get him with Sterling Shepherd, suddenly. Evan Ingram is catching passes again. That is
a great,
you know, let's not forget, you know, it's not Daniel Jones's fault that Evan Ingram has been dropping like a stone all season.
It's true.
So, yeah, you know, it's not just on him. So, you know, he's not going to be, you know, if we were to power rank our quarterbacks, I don't think he'd be in the top 15.
No.
But for the team at the moment, he is fine, and we need to get to a place where he's not going to lose us games, and he's getting there because he's not giving the ball away anymore as much. He's not dropping it, you know.
You're still talking yourself into this. I love it.
We're just going to let you keep going, John.
The thing is, I have to.
Have you got that Daniel Jones jersey yet?
I haven't.
It could change, though. Like, I mean, yeah, you're right. You're probably not going to be in a position to draft one of the top quarterbacks. But I reckon there are going to be free agent quarterbacks out there that you could pick up. Like, we spoke about them earlier. Matt Stafford or Matt Ryan. Like, you know, depending on what happens in Atlanta, they might want to move on from Matt Ryan. Sam Darnold. you know, there's not been a lot of history between the two New York teams around trading, but they did it last year with Leonard Williams. And Leonard Williams had one of the best games I've seen him play.
He was great this weekend.
Two and a half sacks
in this game. Yeah. And that's, like I said, whilst he was at the Jets and also now the Giants, that's the best I've seen him. Yeah. I think, you know, I was going to come on to it, but I think there's a... Dave Gettleman gets rightly...
insulted.
He has his detractors. But actually, when you look at the defense, it's starting to come together. There's elements that are playing well. Like Blake Martinez has had a good game. James Bradbury's been good. Jabril Peppers, who came in from Cleveland, has been decent. And like I said, Leonard Williams had a good game. That's the core. That's the core of a good defense, and they've been playing well for like 7 weeks now. And they played; they did exactly what they should do against the Seahawks in terms of like keep Russell Wilson from, you know, moving outside the pocket, get to him, push him back. And you look at some of the they had what 5 sacks, but they gave up 47 yards for those 5 sacks, and a lot of them were on like 3rd or 4th down.
Yeah,
it's a well-drilled team.
The Giants tick the two boxes that they need to win at the moment. The first is they've allowed fewer than 20 points in 3 straight games for the first time since 2009. Yep. So your defence is good. And the second thing was that they've had 100 rushing yards in 7 consecutive games, which is the first time you've done that in 10 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
and that's without Barkley.
Those two things are key because, like you said, keeping Daniel Jones's input to a minimum is what's required at the moment until we see what he is. And this, you can win this way.
Yes.
Being what is a weak division.
The thing I'll say, as the other Giants fan on this podcast, I'm really excited because you think that first round safety we drafted, I can't remember his name, McKinney or McKinley or...
Xavier McKinley.
Yeah.
That first
McKinney,
round safety...
It's McKinney, yeah.
Yeah.
It's McKinney, Xavier McKinney.
He looked fantastic, and I know he got injured. Having him and Barkley come back, no matter who we draft in the first round, we've got great first round talent.
Yeah,
I'd like to see us get a, if there is a standout receiver in the draft, I'd like to see us go for some.
But do you know what I will say? I think Sterling Shepard is criminally underrated. I think he's a really good receiver. It's just that he's very easy to pick out when you're playing against the Giants because you'd never have sacked one on the field. So you can account for Sterling Shepard very easily. I think he's really, really good.
It's not a surprise our upturn in form has coincided with Sterling Shepard coming back from injury because it does help. And but I'd like, you know, I don't think Golden Tate lasts another year with us.
No, he's gone. But do you not? I think we did this earlier in the season, and I can't remember what the outcome was, but we were trying to work out how many games the Giants have had Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, Evan Ingram, and Sterling Shepard on the field at the same time. It was something like 4 games.
Yeah. And so it's ridiculously low.
You need those building blocks in place because that's a really good offense, then. That's a really viable offense. Because Darius Slayton is a good player.
Great player.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he could be your field stretching player, if you like. And I just think, I don't think you're that far away on either side of the ball. I really don't.
No, it's this, the confidence in being sort of what seems well coached. And as well, you know, will you see DK Metcalf have a quieter game as he had this week for the rest of the season?
Probably
Bradbury
not.
Absolutely shut him down. It was great. Yeah. It was brilliant to watch. And, you know, the thing is, even as a Giants fan, this year, I really want Washington to make the playoffs. just because I think the story would be brilliant. You know, this year with Rivera.
And the draft pick will be better, right?
And the draft pick gets better. But it's nice to have a bit of the green shoots of hope.
Two questions from this game then. Firstly, who knew that Alfred Morris was still playing?
Well, I didn't.
Yeah.
Literally, no idea.
Yards and a touchdown for Alfred Morris. And secondly, is this the game where all hopes of Russell Wilson being MVP finally went to bed?
Yes.
I think they went a few weeks back. But yeah, I mean, this is definite.
It's over. Okay.
You can't.
I think about 3 weeks ago, Paul mentioned the MVP doesn't have about 10 picks. And that was about week 9, wasn't it, Paul? So he's not got any better. In fact, in those weeks, he's been picked less, but offensively, he's got quieter. So I think he's out of the race. I think it's down to
he needed to be better than Mahomes, and he's not going to be better than Mahomes at the end of this season.
Nah.
No, I mean, he's not being helped out. That CS defense is pretty much the opposite of what we expect Seattle defenses to be over the last 5 to 10 years. They're giving up 407 yards in total per game at the moment. That's second to last only to the Jaguars. So the bottom five are the Jaguars, Seahawks, Texans, Jets and Lions. Which one sticks out like a sore thumb there? It's the opposite of Chicago. I wrote in an article the other day. It's like, you know, all I want for Christmas, NFC edition. I've given the Seattle Seahawks the Chicago Bears defense because that's equally an unbalanced team.
Yeah, it's true.
You're very true. And as well, they were without their starting right tackle and their backup right tackle.
Yeah.
And I think in the game, the right tackle who was playing there also went down injured. And it was just a feat. As you say, they got 5 sacks and, you know, the pressure on Wilson was,
I mean, you're right. He's not going to be MVP. But the offensive line has never been good in Seattle. It's been just about good enough. But
isn't it
completely
nice, though,
fell apart.
John and Paul, to be able to talk about the Giants being relevant, at least at this point in the season, where the playoffs are extremely realistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the Giants are one of those franchises where football is better if the Giants are relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's the same with the Raiders. I always think football is better when those teams are relevant because they are storied franchises.
I disagree on the Raiders point, but I agree on the Giants.
But yeah, I'm with you. Another one is maybe because of as well how I grew up, but the Bears were always good. Mm. And seeing the Bears at the moment is quite—it's sad, but yeah, it's nice as a franchise. You know, Giants do make the NFL seem more prestige, I guess. But moving on to the other NFC East team, Packers 30, Eagles 16, and Jalen Hurts is in for the Eagles.
This was always going to happen. After the game, Doug Peterson said that he hadn't decided or it was to be decided what would happen with Carson Wentz. Once they say that, you know it's over and it probably needs to be for the rest of the season. Carson Wentz is broken. He's done for this year. But I'm just going to bring this up and then let you talk about the game. Following the Rams' disappointment in the Super Bowl, for the first half of 2019, Jared Goff was dreadful. He was really, really bad. And there was all this talk about, oh, the only reason they haven't replaced him is because the only other quarterback is Sean Mannion and that wouldn't be an improvement. Wentz has been benched because the Eagles took a chance on Jalen Hurts, who may or may not be a viable NFL quarterback, but it's worth finding out. Goff goes in cycles. He's good, bad, good, bad. That's how it works. And I think Wentz is the same. Now, his cycles tend to be longer. He's better for a really long stretch and worse for a really long stretch. But this is not the end of Carson Wentz. He will come back and be an extremely talented quarterback. But you cannot take, I don't know, 60 sacks or whatever it's been, like a ridiculous number of hits every game, in a team that's broken with virtually no offensive players, a coach that I think has been overplayed as a good coach, and not take some hits, especially when you add in the fact that Wentz's personality is one of, I didn't get to win the Super Bowl for my team. I've said this before. I think he genuinely carries that. And all those things mixed up have just broken him this season. Get him out of the firing line, but back him to be the franchise face for the future because he is your most talented quarterback.
I mean, you've got to give Jalen Hurts a chance. This is a guy who was a starter at Alabama and Oklahoma. You're not, you don't do that as a bad player.
No, no.
And I know the people have had their doubts, but you've got nothing to lose. You ain't going to win the division.
He's not. No. That's what I'm saying. I absolutely agree with what they're doing, but I don't think he will be the upstaging quarterback over Wentz for the future. I still believe Carson Wentz can do what Jared Goff has done and turn it round very, very quickly if given the right coaching and in this case, the right rest.
And an offensive line.
Yeah. There is no doubt, for me, the point I was making, that Goff would have been rested if anyone other than Sean Mannion had been the backup of the Rams. Because he was bad. He was bad. This time last year, we were saying Jared Goff is playing like a rookie again. And that's where Wentz has gone. He's leading the league in interceptions. He's also leading the league in sacks taken. And he is locking on to anybody who looks halfway open because he is desperate to get rid of the ball.
It's quite amazing how he's not been injured yet. Because he has this reputation of being injury prone. I always think that's a bit unfair because you have one bad injury and then a bad knock in the playoff appearance last year. And to your point, he's been hit more than any other quarterback in the league this year. That offensive line is one of the worst I think we've seen in recent years. It's terrible. I think your guy needs a break. You're absolutely right. I think they need to say to him, look, This isn't our year. We're 3-8. There's now two teams in the division who are playing well, who quite frankly are going to win one of the playoff spots. So we're not going to risk you anymore. We're going to wrap you up in cotton wool, go to the Bahamas, have a break, get away from everything. Just do something just to get away from it, and come back next year ready to play again. Because out of the two of them, Wentz and Goff, I think Wentz is the better quarterback. At the moment, there's no doubt about it, Goff is on form.
Yeah.
Long term, I still think it's going to be Wentz. Because I think Wentz can play as quarterback, whereas Goff can play as a game manager with Sean McVay in his ear.
I agree with everything. John's going to say the same thing. We're all sat here nodding. Yeah. I agree. It's 50 sacks on the season already, by the way, and 15 interceptions. That's insane. You cannot... Look at what that did to David Carr.
Yeah.
David Carr was a talented quarterback who just got battered into the floor and his career just derailed. Now, Carson Wentz is more talented and will be given more time, but you've got to get him gone. The Eagles have got nothing to play for. You're not as good as the Giants or the football team.
I think they'll struggle to beat Dallas as well.
Wrap him in cotton wool.
Yeah.
Get to the end of the it's January soon. End of the season, was it four more weeks?
Yeah, 4 more weeks of the regular season.
Yeah, 4 more weeks. Let's see what Hurts can do under the most extreme. You know, you don't really want to be throwing a rookie quarterback in with no offensive line and no weapons. But you know, he
played okay.
He got a nice the touchdown was a lovely pass.
He played okay.
So you know, it could be the making of him. And actually, you know. If he gives Pedersen a decision to make at the end of the year, then albeit, but you know, fine.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, great. You know, at the worst, they're getting a pretty nice draft pick. You know, this beef up that line and add to that defense. What's the next game?
Rams Cardinals.
Rams Cardinals.
I believe.
Yes, Rams 38, Cardinals 28.
This shows you the direction these two teams are going in the season. I think the Rams didn't start great and they're heading up. The Cardinals got off to a better start than people expected them to and they're regressing to the mean. No great shocks here for me. If you take away DeAndre Hopkins from the Cardinals offense,
there
is nothing. Kyler is really, really good, but it's a bit like Deshaun Watson. If you don't give him enough to play with, it doesn't matter how good he is. He won't be on a winning team.
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins had 13 targets, 8 receptions and 52 yards.
That's insane. If you told me he had 8 receptions, I'd have told you he had 120 yards in most
games. Yeah.
So, what a brilliant job from the Rams.
Sorry? Good at Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, Jalen Ramsey's brilliant.
If Stephon Gilmore was the best defensive player, certainly the best cornerback last year, surely Jalen Ramsey is this year.
Yes, he is. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. He just shuts down number one wide receivers. He completely shut down DK Metcalf the other week. And this week he's done the same with DeAndre Hopkins.
not forget, like, I completely agree. I think the Cardinals, this is still an improvement from last year. I think they're making progress, and that's all you can ask for. They're in a really tough division.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're showing, like the Giants are showing signs of life. They're building that team. The defense needs a lot of work. There are pieces on it that are good, but, you know, people like Patrick Peterson, who, you know, was the Jalen Ramsey of his day, he's getting older now. He can't run with kind of top receivers. Buda Baker, I think, is one of the best safeties in the league. But apart from Chandler Jones, who's injured at the moment, there's nothing on that defensive line to pressure opposing quarterbacks.
Yep.
What a great response from Jared Goff, though, to the criticism he got after last
week. Brilliant.
He basically said, I think he did say, I'm a big boy, I can take it, and then turned up and delivered what you would call a fairly flawless performance. And, I think you've got to credit that, because he does shoulder a lot of the attention because he got such a big contract and so much was expected of him. 351 yards and a touchdown, but 37 of 47. That's good.
That's good.
You don't need more than that out of your quarterback. Cam Akers as well.
I was about to say, there's making of a running game there as well. I think Cam Akers and Darrell Henderson were a really good 1-2 combo. And I think, like, Cam Akers is probably the more talented running back. He's not had the best starts in the league. But I think he's shown signs of he can be one of those explosive running backs that, you know, in a year or two, he could be up there with some of the best.
Agreed.
Yep. Okay. Speed round. Vikings 27, Jags 28.
Do you not think this round would be better if we all took speed first?
Well, sometimes.
Yeah. So Jags 24 even. So,
strong start.
The problem with this game is it went on too long and was dreadful. I mean, really just horrible. The Vikings made Mike Glennon look like a competent quarterback.
It's rare we get extra time and it's like, oh, great. We get more with, like, you know, Chiefs Steelers. No, you get shit like this. You get
Kirk Cousins. Nobody asks for more Kirk Cousins.
I know. It's not even like Kirk Cousins in prime time.
What a combo. I said to John, though, yesterday, Mike Glennon, a bit like Alex Smith at the football team, Mike Glennon might be the best quarterback on this roster.
He is, undoubtedly.
And they just didn't want to play him. And you had the full Mike Glennon experience in this game. There were some amazingly good throws that all competent quarterbacks can do. And then there was some right dross just fed in between. He's so inconsistent. It's painful. But I think probably if he plays out the rest of the season, he buys himself another 5 years as a backup in the league.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what he is. And that's fine. Don't forget, you know, he was the guy at Tampa before they drafted Jameis. And that wasn't an easy move for them. He'd been playing well in Tampa. They just had a bad team. So he can do things, but his problem is mobility. There isn't any. So as soon as you rush him, he's as statuesque as any one of us would be. And that's where he falls down. If he's got time in the pocket, he can deliver dimes. But as soon as you rush him, he's a spent force. So James Robinson makes this a viable team. But they don't want to win.
No, they absolutely don't, because they need to replace a quarterback with someone quality. But I quite like where this team's going. It sounds weird. It's a 1-11 team, but they've got some talent on this roster now.
Yeah.
You know, Colin Johnson's had a good couple of games as a rookie wide receiver. They've still got DJ Shark. Tyler Eifert's a good tight end. Thank you. Laviska Shenault is, you know, developing as a good gadget type kind of wide receiver. And then, like you say, you've got James Robinson.
Somebody sneezing, though.
Does, yeah, you're right.
You do wish out Gesundheit afterwards.
They've also got an okay defense as well. Okay, yes, they've lost a lot of games, 11 games in a row now. But out of the last five games, they've only four of them they've lost by 4 points or less.
Yeah, they've been vastly improved without actually crossing the winning line. But what do you do with the coaching situation?
You start again.
Get rid of Doug down.
Moore. Yeah,
Burn
you get
it
rid
down,
of.
Start again.
Yeah, I don't think Doug Moore can have another year. You've already got rid of your general manager, so you're going to bring in a new general manager, and the new general manager wants to pick his own coach, and then you couple that with getting one of the top two quarterbacks coming out of the draft, and you've got another first round pick next year as well. That's when you compare that to what's in Houston.
Yeah. That's where I was going with this, yeah.
Yeah, there's no contest.
Considering they're in the same division as well, you'd say the Jags should have the upper hand for the next few years.
They've got the building blocks there. I mean, even on defence, they've got some good players.
But it's also, it's the Jags, let's be fair.
This is the problem, isn't it? Because it comes down to organisations. Some organisations are run well and some aren't. And Jags is one that's not.
And some of them have a man who's trying to run a wrestling company and run a football team at the same time as a football team.
Yeah. Bears 30, Lions 34.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Right.
Speed round. We don't need to do it. It's fine.
Done with the Bears. Well done, Lions. Just...
Dumpster fire.
Oh, my God.
I go back to, I disagree with anyone who tells me there's a difference between Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky. There isn't.
There's not.
And it was just bad. Well done, the Lions, for whatever your new head coach is called. You're both so irrelevant, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Falcons, 16. Saints, 21.
I thought this was a reasonably good game. Taysom Hill, I mean... They haven't lost a game with a backup quarterback in the last two seasons. Yeah. Like, the Saints, they just keep rolling, and this is fine. And you got the feeling, even if the Falcons had scored, the Saints could have scored again. They just weren't really dialing up the plays. So, I really like what the Falcons have done, though, since they changed head coach. I think you've got to credit Raheem Morris. They're getting closer to being a competitive team every week. I really think that if they keep Matt Ryan and build the right way around him, you've got another 4 or 5 year run ahead of you where you can be a successful team.
No one's ever questioned the Falcons' offense. I think it's always been strong. It's the defense that's always been terrible, which has always been a surprise. They had a defensive minded head coach in Dan Quinn. So you just need to find someone just to fix that.
Yeah, sorry. My point was, I keep hearing about them, you know, letting Matty Ice walk out of the building
because of cap and
age. It'd be a crazy thing to do. Yeah. It's a generational quarterback.
Unless you could bring in Stafford.
Yes, maybe, but that'd be the only one I would take off the market if they were coming, and only because I think you'd get him at slightly less money. But I think you've got to commit Ryan and build around him.
Yeah.
Yeah, build that defense. Get a decent defensive coach.
Yeah.
Okay, Dolphins 19, Bengals 7.
Oh, that fight was hilarious. Did you see it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. My favourite thing is there's all these men running onto the pitch, you know, big meaty men slapping meat. And did you see the Bengals O-line?
Yeah, it's all at the back.
Sat on the bench.
Yeah. Sat on the bench doing exactly what they've done for the whole season, really.
Yeah, basically not shifting their ass. Brian Flores came out afterwards and said he shouldn't have lost his temper and he should have stayed cool. I disagree. His player got floored twice and he went out there as a player. That was Brian Flores, the linebacker, went out there to be like, I'm going to kick some ass in a minute, so you better sort your team out.
When that sort of thing happened, if anyone knows anything about the British Lions, like they're the cool in the 70s when they were playing South Africa, which was, if anything happened, they'd all shout 99 and everyone would just pile in. And that's what you want as a team. They've got each other's back. And yeah, you're right. The coach shouldn't have gone in. But as a player, how pumped up are you to see your coach kind of wading in there as well?
Brian Flores is, 7 years removed from being a player? You're loving that.
As a player, you're just loving that. And I bet, like, in all the meetings they have, like, on Monday and Tuesday, I bet they get a good lot of laughs over that. It builds that team morale. And the Dolphins are a team. And we said it about Washington earlier. They look like they want to win. They look like they want to play for their coach. And other teams, like the Cowboys, just don't look like that.
When was the last time we got to 4 weeks from the end of the season and you were genuinely excited to watch the Dolphins and see what they were going to do?
Exactly. Like, that defense, awesome.
They are
Jay Cutler.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, they're not the best team, but they are sneakily good. They're really well coached, and the Bengals without Joe Burrow, you've remembered what the Bengals are, which is bad, just bad,
really bad.
Yeah.
Did you see the bloke who got pushed to the who got knocked down a couple of times, congratulating Parker as he left the field?
No.
Just basically to say thank you. Because that's it, you know. You don't want to see players go leaving the pitch, but you know, go all in. And that's
That team is just so well built right now, and they're only going to carry on going forward.
Yeah, that's a team with a plan, and they're executing the plan flawlessly so far.
Okay, power rankings.
Yay!
All games covered. Let's go on to our power rankings. So it's the third set of power rankings. So
the caveat being the Ravens and Cowboys haven't played yet.
Ravens and Cowboys have not played. They played.
Do we prepare either way? Oh my God, what a game! Didn't.
I can't believe the Ravens botched it again. Oh.
Wow, who'd have thought?
A draw?
See, Kelly got 200 yards and 4 touchdowns.
I wish.
Didn't see that coming. Bloody fantasy football.
Could you believe that thing that happened in the game that was really great?
So.
Oh, that touchdown.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Should we say something that's definitely going to happen? Dalton fucking sucked, didn't he? Oh, man. Oh, poor Andy. Okay.
Doesn't Jerry Jones look like Senator Palpatine's ball sack?
Unlimited power.
Mike McCarthy is getting more Jabba-like as a... Okay.
We need to stop there. All right, power rankings.
So, who wants to guess who's number one?
Chiefs.
It's
Packers.
The Chiefs.
Oh, I went with the Packers.
Packers are third.
Ooh.
You went with the Packers first?
Yeah, I think if they played anyone tomorrow, they'd beat them.
I disagree.
I had Packers. I had them at third, but only because I couldn't really separate the Chiefs and the Steelers. But the Packers are third, but they're so good.
I'm guessing I had the Steelers the lowest then.
Yes, you did.
I had them fourth because I.
Everyone else second.
I generally think it's a masquerade that they've been undefeated for so long. They haven't played brilliantly, and I think a lot of teams could beat them on the day. So,
They're second because they are, but I still don't think they're going to win. They're not going to get to the Super Bowl. But third.
Census for last place, by the way.
Jets are last. Everyone went the Jets for last, but we'll get to last in a sec.
Okay.
We'll do the top five. So, fourth.
Saints.
Saints, and then?
Bills.
Hmm.
So, we must have all had the same top five, just in different orders, surely?
No. Jim went with the Bills at seventh.
Mm.
And who did I go with at five? I can't.
Brilliant.
Awesome.
Good podcasting. You've got
awesome,
it.
Brilliant. I think.
Yep. Sorry.
I went the Bills at seven. Just, I think they're a great team. They stand a chance. I think they can beat anyone on their day. But I still think there's a little bit of inconsistency around Josh Allen, which scares me. I think that you don't have that inconsistency with the Titans or even the Rams to some extent because they've got such a good defense.
Yeah, I put the Rams quite high up this time. I also elevated the Browns quite highly because I don't think you can not now. I know it's the Browns, but you can't not respect that record.
Well, it's been recording for that long. I might have to de-elevate the Browns by the time we're done.
It's Rams, Titans, Hawks, Browns, Colts. Hawks are there because Gary went very big on the Hawks, as he does.
He loves the Hawks.
He's a closet Seahawks fan, isn't he? So do you want to go at the bottom?
Yeah, always.
Jets, Jags.
Jets. Then it's Jags.
Oh.
Just on the average, they were 0.2 ahead of the Bengals. Me and Griff both went with Bengals ahead of the Jags, but Gary had the Bengals at 28.
Really?
Really?
Did he watch the same games as us?
He had them
below the Bengals.
Broncos. And Cowboys.
He does know that Joe Mixon and Joe Burrow are both not playing, right?
I mean, I had to go with Jaguar, the Bengals below the Jags, because yeah, Burrow is not going to play for the next year.
Yeah.
So that is, I mean, they're looking at, they're potentially looking at a number three pick and a number one in the next 2 years. So above the Bengals, we have
Broncos and Eagles got to be there somewhere.
Chargers.
Oh, yeah, the worst coach team in football.
Yeah. I had the Eagles just below the Chargers.
Then Cowboys, yeah. Eagles, Broncos, Texans, Lions, Bears.
I think that's harsh for the Texans. I think they should be on the climb, but yes.
They're not great.
It's so muddy at that sort of the lower middle part of the table.
Yeah.
It's impossible because any team could beat any other team because they're all relatively bad.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Come on then, where were the Patriots?
Patriots, 14th.
Okay, so I have
14, 14, 15, 15, 16. So they're, yeah, they're pretty consistent.
Definition of middle of the road. They are 6-6 after 12 games, so they had to be in the middle somewhere. They're actually where I started with my power rankings. I wrote them at 16 and built around that.
Obviously.
Do you want to guess the best, the most improved team since
Vikings?
We can do it in since week four.
Rams.
Rams.
Giants.
I'm going to go Vikings.
Ooh, football team.
Yeah, football team could be up there.
Football team.
Yeah.
Football team, they are currently 19th in our power rankings. They were 28th to start the season.
Giants must have moved as well.
Giants have moved as well. Since week four, the Dolphins have gone up like 11 places.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they're just getting better. Fallers. Yeah, we're looking at... Cowboys from week four. The Cowboys are the biggest droppers.
Yeah, it's not surprising.
And the Chargers. Since the last power rankings, it's the Chargers. Patriots are also big risers since week eight.
Do you not think that the Chargers have fallen just because it wasn't that they were winning before? It's just that you believe they had so much talent that they surely would have a three or four game run.
I don't know if it was talent, but they were losing by three.
You had hope. 4 points. They were going to turn it round.
Yeah.
I think that was the thing. And you're right. They had the talent on the team.
Yeah.
They had the talent on the team. They were losing by a few points. It's like, okay, let's give Herbert another couple of games and he will get them there. But now it's like, no. Herbert can do whatever he wants. He can be Tom Brady-esque for, you know, the whole of the season. And there's just no faith in that coaching team.
Yeah. As I say, they were losing by 3 and 4 points. They extended that to like losing by more 45. Than score.
45.
They've lost by 45 points and been shut out. So that is just a team that, once again, they need to get to January, quite frankly. Anyway.
I think there's only been three shutouts over the last 2 years, and all three of them have been the Patriots.
Oh, really? Not surprise me.
No, it's not a shock.
So,
not only playing the Jets every year.
Oh, picks. Yeah, go on then. I haven't looked, but go on.
I was going to bring the picks in this week, but unfortunately, they're on my work laptop. So excuses.
One job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the way on a rundown you've now called it risky picks rather than locks. I like that.
Well, Gary moans like a bitch. Well, it's not actually a lock, is it?
And he complains about this podcast. Yeah.
I forgot to ask him for his pick. I'll get it before the
weekend. Say that he thinks the Jags will beat the Titans.
I don't, because he's got a massive hard on for the Titans. He loves because he's got Derrick Henry in his team, fantasy team.
Before we get into the picks, and that's fine, but you know how there's been debate about Zach Taylor on this podcast and whether or not he should be dumped off or not.
Yep.
Bizarrely, right? Yes. Like the debate. Right.
Should he be beating the Cowboys this week? 2-9-1 Bengals against the 3-8 Cowboys. if he's got, he's got to be a better coach than Mike McCarthy to keep his job, right?
No.
No. I don't, but I think you, for them, they, I think they need to be competitive against the Cowboys. And I don't think they will be.
No, I don't think they will be.
I don't think they do need to be. I think you look at the quality, you look at the talent on either side, on either team, and the Cowboys, even with Andy Dalton, should be absolutely destroying the Bengals.
It's an Andy Dalton revenge game as well. But
yeah.
I
like
think
Andy Dalton or, Brand, or Brandon any... Allen. Like,
I think it's one of those games that if you look back at the end of the season and you sort of forget just how bad the Cowboys are, you go, well, then we got a tight loss against a big loss against the Cowboys. But this is not a good Cowboys team. They are not moving the ball. They're not defending.
Yeah, I think they've got to be competitive here. I think Zach Taylor should be in trouble if they're not. And I don't care who's at quarterback, because both of these teams have struggled, and I think that they need to be comparable.
Really, yeah.
He has Ryan Finley at quarterback.
Yeah,
Brandon Allen.
Well, either way, interchangeable gelatinous blob at quarterback.
It's generous.
You can't judge this team on this season. No Mixon, no Burrow. This you're not the Bengals.
Yeah,
I agree. I'm not judging them on this season. I'm judging them on this game.
I think that's unfair. That's like judging Shanahan on any game they have for the rest of the season.
Yeah, but at least he's making his team competitive. That's my point. Anyway,
yeah, but
so I'm not taking the Bengals over the Cowboys, clearly.
Crap team without upper quartile running back, first overall pick in the draft last year. They're going to be crap.
Yeah.
There was a reason they were the first overall pick last year. You can't then expect them to beat a team that they should be losing to.
Go on then. I'm going to kick this off. I'm taking the Bills to beat the Steelers.
Ooh. I'm going to take the Pats to beat the Rams.
Well, that's no shock. Belichick's only lost once to them in the last seven times they've played.
But, I know, but on this season, the Rams should win.
Well, the thing the Rams are best at is shutting down wide receivers, and we haven't got any, so they can do that all day long. That's fine.
But yeah, they should win. But I think
when Newton runs into Aaron Donald, what a collision that is!
All right, I'm going to jinx it, guys. I'm going to take the Giants over the Cardinals.
Oh, that's a great shout. That was my next pick.
Why do that to us?
I think you'll do that. I think that's absolutely doable.
Yeah, I think it's very doable. It's a very similar game that you need to play against the Seahawks and you play against the Cardinals. I think you'll win.
Is anyone man enough to take Dolphins over Chiefs?
I did think about it.
So you're not man enough, is what you're saying?
Not man enough is what I'm saying. I was very close, though. I think the Dolphins are going to give him a good game.
It's not his fault he's a pussy.
John?
Just accept it.
I've picked the Pats.
I know, but I thought you might change and go Dolphins over Chiefs.
So you can switch.
No, I've got the Chiefs to win the whole thing. I think
there are some interesting games though. Football team can easily beat the Niners, I think. I mean they're 2-5-7 teams, but their teams heading in opposite directions is what I was getting at. And I think that could be a steamrolling with Nick Mullins under centre and no real week-to-week consistency in who's playing. I think that football team defence could demolish the Niners.
I disagree. I think that's going to be closer.
I'm going to go for the Raiders beating the Colts.
Ooh. Well, yeah, I suppose so. They're only one game back from the Colts, so that would make some sense. Colts are at home, but that really doesn't count for much this year.
I think a lot of that depends on whether Jacobs plays or not.
That's true. I think he is due to play, isn't he?
Yeah.
As of now. There are some fairly poor games on the slate this week. So Cowboys, Bengals being one of them. Panthers, Broncos.
Bears, Texans.
Yeah. Now, here's the game we should be talking about. If the Browns beat the Ravens, are the Ravens' playoff hopes over?
Yes.
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 And does anyone think that the Ravens will win that game?
No.
No,
it's the Browns.
No, I don't think they will.
No, I think Kevin Stefanski has finally got them into a place where it's not just it's the Browns. They're 9-3.
Like, they, yeah, but it's the Browns could, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but they could. if I had to put money on one team or the other, or if you had to put money on one team or the other, which one of those two are you taking right now?
The Ravens, because it's the Browns, isn't it?
I'm taking the Browns.
I take the Browns.
Ravens.
I'm going Ravens.
Gary gets the deciding pick. He's decided to sit on the fence. I assume it broke.
He's gone for a draw then. Interesting.
Yeah, he's gone for a draw, yeah.
Well, I'll get Gary's pick off him. I forgot to ask.
No, he's gone for a draw in the Browns Ravens.
Yeah.
if you disagree with Gary,
can't bother to turn up. But yeah, he thinks the Jets are going to beat the Seahawks. Amazing. Right?
Well, the thing is...
No.
The Seahawks
only win will be last week against the Patriots. That is how it's going to be. Because Belichick will look at that and go, what would really screw the Jets over? Oh, no, we're going to play all our backups.
But I'm really disappointed with the Seahawks at the moment. It's just not great. Not good at all.
Still 8-4.
A fan.
Right, Vicky Pollard.
Anyway, we'll call that a night. But thank you for joining us. We have our YouTube thing where me, Paul, and Griff try and predict the winners, which is
not going well.
Not going great. Paul lost to his wife last week.
She's good.
Well, I know. 1 week soon, we're going up against Paul's 5-year-old daughter. So
we'll
see.
We'll
see how it basically, yeah.
I can get my cat to pick teams by just which paw does she put down first or something. We'll probably lose to her as well.
We'll have to find, we'll have to find ways to just show how average we are. But we'll be back, of course, next Tuesday to discuss everything in week 14. Have a good weekend, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.